Psalm 42, if you will, let's read that together, beginning in verse number 1. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. As you'll notice there in this psalm, verse number 5 and verse number 11 are the same words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So let's look at this together as we consider hope for the downcast soul. Hope for the downcast soul. There are times in the life of a believer in which the dark clouds of despair overflood the soul. One second we are seeking God's face and enjoying sweet communion with Him, and the next second discouragement seeks to sneak in and diminish our joy in the Lord. And what are we to do in such times of difficulty? How are we to respond to the heartaches and the dark nights that may come to our soul? How have other believers in the past found hope when all hope seems to be gone? Well, the Holy Spirit has recorded this psalm for us in Scripture so that we as believers might continue in our fighting of faith when we face dark and troubling souls. When our soul is downcast and we are crying out to God in the same way that the psalmist does here, we have instruction given to us in this psalm of what we might do. Let's consider first, as we come to Psalm 42, the reality of despair. We have to start there. The reality of despair. The psalmist says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Whether you have been a Christian for 2 years or 20 years, all of us are familiar with the reality of there being times in which our soul feels downcast and disquieted. And there will be mornings in which you feel refreshed by the Spirit of God to preserve through the darkest of storms. And there will be mornings in which you feel like staying in bed and pulling the covers over your head and not facing the world at all. The truth of the matter is, all believers face days of despair and times of discouragements. And so long as we are believers living in a sin-soaked world, battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil, there will be times of discouragements. The psalmist here in our text is facing one of those seasons. He is in a dark and dreary storm. And while the psalm doesn't say who this song is written by, Many scholars believe this psalm to be written by David or one of his sons. And if it is David, it is interesting for us to note. I am partial to believe that this is David pouring out his soul before God. David, a man after God's own heart, not a perfect man, but a man who is active in seeking the Lord. David, who knew what it was to face trials and persecutions and the downcasting of the soul. But whoever it is, we see this man of like passions, dealing with the reality of despair as he questions his soul. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why? Why? I don't want it. Why? Why am I in the storm? And notice the timing of his despair, verses 1 through 2. The psalmist is pursuing and panting for the Lord. He is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He is longing to know something of God's presence and God's power. And then he declares, verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" Well, this, I guess, shatters the false reality that those who seek the Lord live on a bed of roses. This shatters the false reality that those who are seeking to be faithful always know what the blessing of God is. No, those who seek the Lord face times of adversity. They face times of persecution. They face doubts and worries and fears, and anxiety is a real thing. The psalmist's enemies are pursuing him as he is pursuing after God. Verse 9, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And it seems the more fervent he is in seeking after the Lord, the more it seems that God is forsaking him. Verse number 10, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" And so there's this despair in his heart. Oh, don't underestimate it. He is seeking after God. He is a true believer, but his heart is divided. He wants to know God, but there's this part of him that pulls. There's this part of him that doubts and worries. And so how does he find hope for such a condition? What causes the souls of God's people to be downcast? Well, there are several things. As we see in our text, the first, we see the sins of others may cause our soul to be downcast. The enemies cast the psalmist down with their mouths. They sought to take his life. His enemies' mouths, their lips were as swords, piercing and cutting. "Where is thy God? Your religion is fake. Your hope in God is hopeless. Give up and give in." The sins of others cause great despair when men forsake us, when our own family and friends depart. In Psalm 55, David describes his deep despair when he is betrayed by his friend and counselor Ahithophel. Absalom, his son, Saul, the king, hunting his life. These sins of others caused David to be in a state of downcast. And so the sins of others may cause the soul to be downcast. Our own personal sin may cause us to be downcast. Psalm 38, 17 and 18, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin." As we look at David's repentant psalm in Psalm 51, we see that it was David's rebellion that caused him to lose his joy in the Lord. For he prays, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Well, who was the cause of that despair? David was. David's foolish decision to give in to his lustful looks towards Bathsheba, David's foolish decision to call for Bathsheba and to call for the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, all led him to be in a state of despair. So sometimes it's not the sins of others, sometimes it's our own sin. Unconfessed sin can cause deep despair. So David had to pray, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Sometimes the disappointments in life cause us to despair. And we see this in Jacob. "All these things are against me." He's lost his son Joseph. His brothers are constantly quarreling. The brothers go to Egypt. The governor wants Benjamin. His sons appear to be thieves. They are accused to be spies. And they are dealing with this famine. And Jacob says, "All these things are against me." In that condition, he is downcast, like this psalmist here. So sometimes just the disappointments of life, the famines, the heartaches. Sometimes it's the loss of loved ones. Job, losing his precious children all in one day, wondering why, asking himself, "What is God doing?" And sometimes it's physical weakness. Now, the Bible doesn't say it explicitly, but we know by the Apostle Paul's testimony in the book of Corinthians, when he's asking God to take away the thorn in the flesh, we see there's a sense of discouragement in his soul. He doesn't want to deal with it. It's painful. It hurts. And so we see the divide of Paul, like we do here in this psalm. And the psalmist, he wants to seek after God. And it was Paul who said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But it's also Paul who says, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And sufferings aren't pleasant, but he knows deep down that the sufferings are what make him to be more Christ-like. And so sometimes physical weaknesses cause us to be downcast, even though we know God is in control and God can use them for our good. So sins of others, personal sin, disappointments in life, the loss of a loved one, physical weaknesses, all can cause us to be in this state that the psalmist is in. So this is the reality of despair. And if we were to take a survey tonight asking how many of you would say you've been in a similar condition as the psalmist, I think all of us could raise our hand twice and say, "Yes, I've been there. I've been in those moments where I didn't know if I could make it another day. I've been in those moments where I thought everything was hopeless. I've been in those moments where I wondered if God really was working all things for my good." This is a reality that we must face. And one of the most beautiful things of the Scripture is its transparency. God in His infinite wisdom shows us, if we can say it this way, the warts and the wrinkles of those who have been mightily used of God so that we might stand shoulder to shoulder with them, so that we might relate with them. They are not some untouchable, high and holy angels looking down upon us, judging us and criticizing us in our times of doubts and worry. No, they are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ standing shoulder to shoulder with us, men and women of like passions who are encouraging us to run the race with perseverance because they have dealt with the reality of despair and they have conquered the despair. We see in this text first the reality of despair, and then I want you to notice the remedy of despair. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" This is the reality, but notice next to it the remedy. The remedy is, "Hope thou in God." That's the remedy. Hope thou in God. In short, God is our remedy. There is no true or lasting hope in anything or anyone else. All other sources are hopeless. And men and women look to so many things in this life other than God. And where does it lead them? It leads them to greater despair. Just search the statistics of celebrities with money, celebrities with fancy cars, celebrities with mansions, celebrities going on vacation after vacation and after vacation, and celebrities committing suicide. You would think of all people that they would know something about the joy of life, but they do not, because they try to fill this void with things and people. But the Bible tells us that the only remedy for despair is God. Hope. That is, wait. Be patient. Trust. Stay upon God. Hope thou in God. Now, let's break this down. Let's crack the egg open and see what the yolk looks like. What does that mean? Hope thou in God. It's easy to say. It's easy to quote. But what does it mean? Hope thou in God. How did the psalmist hope in God during this time of despair? Well, let me give you a few things to chew on. The psalmist hoped in God by remembering God. Notice verse 6. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, because I am cast down, therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Though despair may cause us to be in a strange land spiritually, we are called to remember God. We are called to remember that He is God. We are called to remember that He is the God of all gods, that He is the one who is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, the one who is the compassionate God, the one who comes down to man's level, and the one who invites men to come unto Himself and find help in their time of need. The psalmist finds comfort and hope in God by remembering God. And listen, church, we remember God by reading and meditating on His Word. That's how we remember God. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's vital that we meditate upon God's Word during times of darkness. What was it that gave the psalmist hope in his times of hopelessness? It was remembering God. We need to learn to preach to our own souls. And this is what the psalmist is doing. He, in a sense, is looking in the mirror and he sees his droopy face. He knows the reality of the condition and he's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his own heart. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's what you're to do. Hope in God. We need to preach to ourselves. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. We need to preach to ourselves that He will not leave us nor forsake us. We need to preach to ourselves, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We need to preach to our soul of God's power and of God's promises. We need to preach to our soul how God has worked for others in the past. And it is only when we remember God that we find hope in God. If we forget God, we will know no hope. So the psalmist is dealing with a reality. He is a person. He's in darkness. He's in great discouragement. But he doesn't stay there. He works at it. And he preaches to his own soul. And he begins by remembering. Hoping in God is remembering God. And then verse 8, we see that the psalmist then exercises faith. Verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Notice that word will. What is that? That's faith. This will not last forever. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Shall, future tense, God will not desert me. That's faith. Though today seems a mess, God's mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. No, never alone, alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. These are more than just words that we sing. These are realities for our life. So the psalmist grows out of this deep ditch of despair by hoping in God, and he remembers God, and remembering God, he exercises faith that God will be with him every step of the way through this time. And what is faith but the spiritual optic? His circumstances are a mess. He does not see how God might work when others are questioning his faith and he is being persecuted. But he is trusting in God, leaning upon Him. He is persevering through faith, believing that God will intervene and send a song within his heart. And we find hope in exercising faith in God by believing His Word. So we remember His Word. Remembering His Word, we put our faith in that Word. We remember what God did for the Israelites and how faithful He was for them. But we grab a hold of that, we implant it into our heart, and we move forward by faith saying, if God did that for them, God can do that for me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this psalm is one of those instances. This psalm gives us hope because the psalmist is downcast. And he's despairing, but we look at this remembering where he was and remembering where God brought him out of. Faith. So we want to hope in God. What does that look like? We need to remember God through His Word. We need to exercise faith in His Word. And then verse 8, we need to be a people of prayer. Verse 8, my prayer unto the God of my life. God will be with me. He will command His loving kindness. And my prayer unto the God of my life. You know, prayer is not so much for God as it is for us. Prayer is that which sets our heart aright. Prayer is that which tunes our heart to fear His name. When we bow in prayer, we are saying, we are not the God of our life. When we bow in prayer, we are saying that there is one who is in authority over us, and we need His help, His guidance, His mercy, His grace, His intervention. And the psalmist, verse 4, is pouring out his soul. I pour out my soul in me. This psalmist is a man of prayer. And Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, this psalmist was fainting. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? He's fainting. What's the remedy? The remedy is prayer. We are either praying or fainting. It can't be both. If we are fainting, we're not praying. And if we are truly praying, we won't be fainting. Because prayer gives us heavenly oxygen to get through the dark storm. But fainting is hopelessness, which sits there and says, I can do nothing, and God can do nothing. Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thomas Manton says, one way to get comfort is to plead the promise of God in prayer, showing Him His handwriting. God is tender of His Word. So here we are bringing God's Word back into it. What is hoping in God? Hoping in God is remembering God's Word. What is hoping in God? Hoping in God is exercising faith in His Word. And what is hoping in God? Hoping in God is communing with God through prayer. And communing with God in prayer, we commune His Word back to Him.
Lord, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. I'm holding on to that truth. And though I'm tempted to doubt it, Lord, I believe it. Lord, you said you would fight my battles for me. I'm in a great battle right now, Lord. I need you. Lord, you rebuked the Laodicean church for being lukewarm. I'm feeling my heart to be very lukewarm at the moment. I don't want it to be lukewarm. I want it to be hot and zealous and fervent for the things of God. Lord, come and rescue me. Lord, I am being taken captive by my anxiety and I don't want to. Lord, help me to believe. I believe, yet help thou my unbelief. We pray standing upon God's word. We find hope in prayer. In all things whatsoever we ask, believing, we shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And then we find hope in God by praising. Verses 5 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Praise Him? Praise Him? I don't feel like praising Him. Everything's against me. My feelings are all jumbled. I can't even remember what day of the week it is. Praise Him? Others are shooting arrows at me. Praise Him? Yes, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Praise Him. The psalmist found hope through praise. And we must be like Paul and Silas, who praised the name of God after being beaten and thrown in prison. You see, their prayer wasn't dependent upon their circumstances, and their praise wasn't dependent upon their circumstances. Their praise was centered on who God was, the unchangeable nature of God. And they praised God for who He was, even though they were in troubling circumstances. Can we praise God when we don't feel like it? We better. We find hope in praise and worship. Like prayer, praise fixes our eyes on that which is good and holy and true. It fixes our eyes on God. Complaining fixes our eyes on the circumstances. But praise and prayer fixes our eyes on the one who gives us hope. Murmuring fixes our eyes on the situations of life. But prayer and praise fixes our eyes upon He who can help us. As He praises through His times of despair, we see then the refreshing of His soul. So we see the reality that he is facing, the reality of despair. We see the remedy of despair, hoping in God, and then we see the refreshing of his soul. Why art thou downcast, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That is, who is the salvation of my countenance and my God. The psalmist resolves to praise and worship God in the midst of his trials. And as he does, he knows that salvation belongs unto God. And he knows that though he is going through a difficult time, that God will be the refreshment of his soul. You see, his relationship with God is not based on his feelings. It's based on what is right. It's based on who God is. His soul is refreshed, though he's confused. His soul is refreshed, though he's in a time of despair. And the Word of God records the discouragements of men and women of God who were discouraged
yet found strength and encouragement in the Lord. We read of Moses in Numbers 11, 14 and 15, who asked the Lord to kill him because the burden of providing for and caring for the people was too great. Moses, the meekest man on earth. Yes, God tells us his warts and wrinkles too. Thank God for it. Lord, I want out of this. Why did you even arrange the circumstances for me to be the leader of your people? And the Lord graciously provided men to help assist him in the work so he would not have to bear the burden alone. Read of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, who was overcome with a season of despair as she was unable to have a child. She's pouring out her soul, asking God, why am I barren when other women have their children? God, have I done something wrong? Have I sinned against you? Why is this taking so long? Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His delight. Lord, why don't I have your blessing? And she's pouring out her heart and pouring out her heart. Why art thou disquieted within me? And she's in a season of despair, and God provides a son. And she rejoices after that. We read of Elijah in 1 Kings 19:12, after defeating the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, downcast and ready to die. Jezebel wants his head. Lord, is this ministry? I didn't sign up for this. I like the mountaintop experience, but this news about this evil woman trying to kill me, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't receive instruction on this in Bible college class. What's going on? Downcast, despair, in a cave, whining and pouting and worrying, and yet God manifested himself afresh and anew to Elijah in that still small voice. We read of Job, who lost his family, who lost his farm, his health. He's weary and overwhelmed by troubling circumstances, and yet God gave him strength and faith to persevere. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Was Job the angelic model throughout the whole book? Thankfully, no. He's a roller coaster ride, up and down, up and down, up and down. Believing, doubting, believing, doubting, believing, doubting. But overall, moving forward. Overall, hoping in God. Trying to grasp the promises of God as he moves forward in that storm. We read of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, discouraged and ready to quit. He says, I'm done. Lord, you want me to preach a message of judgment to this nation of Judah? Nobody's responding, Lord. Why did you call me to do this? They mock at me. Nobody's going to repent. And yet, God's word encourages his heart. And Jeremiah remains faithful, declaring God's faithfulness through the midst of his heartache. In Lamentations chapter 3, we see the weeping prophet in that wonderful portion of Scripture that we love. God's mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He's a weeping prophet. He's affected inwardly. And yet he says, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Holding on to the promises of God. Peter's downcast and depressed after he's denied the Lord three times. He's spent 3 years with the Lord, walking and training, witnessing Christ. He denies his Savior, and you can imagine the great discouragement that was brought to his heart. I'm done. No more ministry for me. I lost my shot. And the Lord, coming to Peter, is Peter's fishing. Peter goes back to his trade. I'm done. I thought I was going to be a full-time preacher. I better go back to fishing. And the Lord approaching Peter. Peter, do you love me? You don't have to stay downcast and discouraged. Hope thou in God. How do I hope in God? Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, I know. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, but Peter, do you hope in God? Do you love me? Yes, I love you. And Peter restored back to ministry and being used at the day of Pentecost in so many wonderful ways. All these examples give us hope, don't they? They should. God doesn't use perfect people. He uses broken people. He uses imperfect people who will trust in Him. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, we have the instance of Jesus calming the winds and the sea. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? Why art Thou disquieted within me? Lord, we're going to die. Don't You care? We're in a great time of despair, Lord, help us. And He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? And with that, I end by saying, sometimes God sends a storm our way to test our faith and allow us to be amazed at who He is and what He is able to do. Jesus was purposely asleep on the boat. And He put Himself to sleep to test the disciples, to teach them that they are not in control. He is. To teach them when the storms of life come, the right response is to turn to Him and to watch Him do the impossible. Not turning to Christ, they would have sunk into the sea, but turning to Christ, oh Lord, help us, save us, do something. They were able to watch God put Himself on display. So hope now in God. What is the need of your heart tonight? You find yourself in this place of discouragement, and sometimes it comes without notice. Sometimes things are going good and that dark cloud just rolls in and the thunder shouts loudly and you wonder, where did this even come from? Everything was going smoothly. Why am I having these thoughts? Where are these temptations coming from? And we need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle with a spiritual enemy who wants our soul to be downcast. But we are called to hope in God. Remember God's Word. Have faith in God's Word. Pray and praise. Hope thou in God. The world has no hope. When they're downcast, they turn to drugs. When they're downcast, they turn to sexual immorality. When they're downcast, they turn to alcohol and they try to drink away their sorrows. And what does that lead to? It leads to more sorrows. It leads to a greater ditch of being downcast and in despair. And the greater the ditch, the harder it is to get out. And they wonder what's going on. But we as believers are not as those who are without hope. We as believers have hope in the ever-present, ever-caring God. And we need to cast our care upon Him, knowing that He cares for us.